Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give a brief presentation on the youth potential of maize in West Africa, with emphasis in Nigeria. We need to know the youth potential, or the productivity as we call it, in our bid to determine the factors causing yield gap. Every year, the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, publishes results of crop production, productivity, and the land area covered by crops for each region of the world. We are not left out of that exercise. But we are not satisfied with what FAO publishes. There's a lot of controversy on it, especially for the last 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 decades, because of certain factors that will be obvious in the next few minutes. FAO computes productivity as total grain produced in the whole country or the whole region divided by land area cropped, and call this productivity, and we question that. We don't consider that as productivity. So the objective here is to compare on-farm maize productivity estimates with those published by FAO. Maize research interventions specific to Nigeria have covered several decades from the country itself since 1960. In the early 1970s, there was what we call the NAFPP, the Nationally Accelerated Food Production Project. The Operation Feed the Nation followed in 1976. Nationally Coordinated Maize Research Program followed in 1982. Green Revolution, leading to hybrid maize, introduction of hybrid maize to the country in 1981. The Sadakawa Global 2000 had the management training plots. And then in the early 2007-2008, the federal government of Nigeria asked all maize researchers to double maize production within 2 years. And the government really put a lot of money into it. And presently we have what is called Agricultural Transformation Agenda, with a maize value chain that's been ongoing. With a lot of money and a lot of effort into this, on-farm trials in their thousands are located all over the country. At the international scene, USDA supported a project that was titled JP26. IIT came into the picture since 1967 with a very strong maize program. The World Bank supported what we call agricultural development programs, first experimenting with this in 1974 using a few countries, and by 1989 the whole country has this, with a lot of money coming from the World Bank supporting this. And presently we have African Development Bank supporting maize, not only maize, several crops, but maize inclusive. So we looked at the data for all of this over time. The on-farm trials usually occupy about 0.1 to 1 hectare plus sizes. They were located all over the agroecological zones of the country. Some of them could be researcher managed. At times, they are farmer managed, and in some other cases, the joint, the farmer and the researcher joined together to manage the on-farm trials. And then most recently, And up to now, we now use what we call the mother baby trial, which involves quite a number of varieties at a location, and then a few, two or three out of these varieties are given to farmers around the place, and we monitor the production and productivity. And like I said, thousands and thousands of these have been done over the years. So we took the yield data from the archives and analyzed this per year as much as possible, and that's what we are reporting here. We compared the trend with the similar published data during the period. Here is a typical result from SG2000. You can see the area covered, 58 hectares up to 250 hectares, giving at the third column the mean yield per hectare, and the farmer practice is at the last column. Clearly, the production using the SG practice is by far higher than what the farmer obtains. We have been growing hybrid maize in the country now since 1984, and on-farm trials are conducted every year since then, and that is the trend that we are getting. It's going higher with about 0.05 ton per hectare per year. So, comparing this from about 1961 to 2012, the FAO data . This is the FAO trend that you find that they publish everywhere online, and this is what we got, or we have been getting from year to year since 1961. The R-square values are they're large enough. There could be some other factors that could influence this, but definitely the year effect is high. But then if you look at the B values for the FAO, FAO is saying we are gaining about 0.02 ton per hectare per year, whereas from our own field experiments, on-farm trials, we are gaining about 0.08, fourfold what FAO reports. So we can conclude then that estimates obtained from on-farm and FAO statistics show increasing trend. That's encouraging. We are increasing production and productivity. But relative to the on-farm trials with a B value of 0.08, the FAO method gives 0.02, and that seems to be to grossly underestimate the yield potential. So they are telling us our yield is about 2 tons per hectare, but now we think it is at least three to five tons per hectare, depending on the type of variety considered, whether OPV versus hybrid, early maturing versus late maturing, or the type of hybrid, whether you're using single crosses, three-way crosses, top crosses, and so on. Thank you very much.
Do we have any questions for our speaker?
Is the FAO data used by granting agencies and the like to fund more money for corn? Is that why you were interested in doing this?
Well, yeah, I didn't think about that in looking at this. But we are interested in determining the factors causing yield gap. So if we are going to be taking 2 tons, in short, we are not satisfied that it's just 2 tons. So that's the motive. But then, to my mind, you are telling me that it is possible for us also to get more money if we show
well, you're showing
if we show more potential and we are grateful to the donors that we are making progress. I mean, if intervention has been thrown into maize since 1967 through IITA, IITA is international, a lot of donations coming, and the yield is just as it had been for the last 40 years, then it is a shame. So I think you have given us an idea to definitely talk to donors that we are making progress. Yes.
Do you know like the percentage of like the difference between OPV and hybrid for those yields, and how many farmers in Nigeria are using hybrid versus OPV?
Well, I didn't prepare to go into all of this, but we have the records. Most of our farmers still grow OPV. The problem has been with seed availability or whatever. There's a lot of reasons for it. But I don't have the records there. Some of my colleagues might have them. Alpha, do you have? Yes. Yes.
And is there are you finding a big yield difference between your OPV and your hybrid variety?
That is a very difficult question to answer, and I'll tell you why. At the research stations, we have new hybrids. The OPVs, and we have new OPVs. But some of the farmers are still growing the old hybrids that were released since the 1980s. And recent OPVs are better performing than even those hybrids. So it depends. Yes. Am I free?
Do you have any further questions for our speaker? If not, please join me in thanking him again, and you're free.
Thank you.